Thank you for joining us at Living Word NRA's podcast. We are a church who worships God and advances His kingdom. For more messages and content, be sure to follow us and subscribe to our channel for you to stay connected. Right now, we're going to hear a life-changing message from a senior pastor, Pastor Nick C.
We are starting a new sermon series today, which we've entitled Summer in the Psalms. So notice it's a little bit toasty in the last few days, right? Dili lang toasty, maybe like an oven. I'd like to acknowledge all our worship team wearing their summer outfit. Praise the Lord for that. So our series is called Summer in the Psalms, and we're going to be doing two things in this series. First of all, we're inviting the church to read through the Psalms. Now, so read a psalm a day. Now, Psalm, P-S-A-L-M, okay? Now, it's very similar to what we did with Proverbs. Remember, in Proverbs, we read one proverb a day. So, the same thing, read one psalm per day, and the reading for the day corresponds with the day. For example, today is May 9, right? So, your reading is going to be Psalm chapter 9. And what we have done, as we have done in the past, is that we supplement your reflections with some devotionals that corresponds also to the daily readings on our Facebook page. So if you haven't been able to join yet, it's not too late to take part. Today, read Psalm 9. Tomorrow, you read Psalm chapter 10 and so on. And as we've done before, we want to encourage you to read a chapter a day, to write a verse that strikes you in that chapter, and then to share that verse to a fellow believer, okay? Now, before we go to the message, I'd like to give you a few pointers in your reading on the Psalms. Okay, remember, number one, remember that the Psalms is a songbook, right? It's a book of songs. And these songs were sung publicly by the Jewish people. So when you read that, remember that you are reading a songbook. You're not reading an article. You are not reading a narrative. You are reading, for example, it's like the lyrics of a song. So, secondly, check out the superscription, if there is one. When you read the Psalms, you will find a superscription. Some Psalms have superscriptions in the first verse. For example, in Psalm chapter 3, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. So there in that superscription, you will see or you will find the occasion of the psalm as well as the writer of the psalm. Sometimes, so in that case, it's David and you are given the reason why he wrote the psalm. And so sometimes the superscript will give other instructions like what instruments to use, just to remind you that this is really a song, right? Now, thirdly, I want you to take note that more than one-third of the Psalms are what we call laments, okay? So some of those chapters are somber and sorrowful. I remember during the times when we had our interns, and I asked them to read 5 Psalms a day, and they were telling me, sometimes it's very depressing because there are laments. There are actually a lot of laments in the Psalms. Now, it's not really depressing. It's just that when you read them, you try to understand where the psalmist is coming from. That's also the fourth point I'd like for you to remember. When you read the Psalms, remember that most of them are poetry. And you'll find a lot of expressions of emotions. So try to enter the emotional world of the imagery which the writer is trying to portray. For example, when you read Psalm chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, David says here, O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. So when you just read those verses, you can sense kind of a sense of urgency, a kind of desperation from the writer, diba? So coupled with the superscriptions that tells us that David wrote this when he was fleeing from his son Absalom, who's trying who actually did a coup d'etat, right? So you can understand here his cry for help. Balik, many, Lord, are those who are against me. So try to remember these pointers when you read the Psalms, okay? So that your study and your reflections of the Psalms will be will be richer when you do that. Now, very simple pointers, ra. Okay, so we want to invite you, the congregation, to read through the Psalms, one chapter of the Psalms a day. But on our Sunday preachings, what we're going to do is we're going to be looking at the most popular psalm of all. What is that? That's Psalm 23, right? We'll be studying this psalm, and we're going to go through it verse by verse. Now, there are 6 verses in this psalm, so we're going to do it for 6 weeks. Okay, so one verse per week. And today, we're going to look at the first verse. But instead of just looking at the first verse, let's read the entire psalm first. So I want to invite everyone again for you to please stand up from your seats. Let's read the entire psalm, chapter 23. Okay, it reads, let's read, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. Let's read this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we come before you today and we humble ourselves in your very presence. Thank you for being here with us. Thank you for allowing us to be able to just sing songs to you. Thank you for the gathering of your church. And right now, as we study your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will move in a special way in our midst. Speak to us, Lord. Remind us of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please take your seats. So of all the 150 Psalms in the Bible, remember there's 150 chapters of the book of Psalms, there is no psalm that is more quoted, more recited, more memorized, more posted on social media than Psalm 23. It's without question the most famous Old Testament passage. Everyone knows it. Even unbelievers know the passage. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Saint Augustine calls it the martyr's hymn because so many Christian martyrs recited Psalm 23 as they went to their deaths for Christ. So for 3,000 years since it was written, this psalm has brought comfort and encouragement to millions of believers. It is a psalm that a child can easily understand. It's that simple, but it's also the kind of psalm that a theologian can drown in. It's very deep as well. Now, if the book of Psalms is like an album, you know, we have an album today, right? A song album. We can say that the 23rd psalm would be the number one song. It would be the greatest hit. There's just 6 stanzas that we just read. Actually, in the English language, only 117 words. That's the ESV version. And yet, it's probably the most familiar 117 words in the hundreds of thousands of words that are found in the entire scripture. So today, we're going to look at the first verse. The first verse. Verse 1 is the theme, actually. It's the central idea where the rest of the verses either amplifies or explains from. So everybody knows the first verse, right? It's the foundational verse. Can you recite it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So it may be the most familiar 9 words in the Bible. But in that one little stanza, David actually tells us there are 3 things about our God, about our shepherd, that we can find in this just one single stanza. Number one is that this. David tells us that our shepherd leads us. First, when you read the entire psalm, you will see that it's a song about a shepherd who is leading his sheep. We read it a while ago, right? You lead me to the green pastures. Now note the two words in the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd. The word Lord and the word shepherd. Now that tells me that I am sheep. That you are sheep, right? Because sheep are the animals that have shepherds. Now, you know, many countries have adopted certain animals to represent or to symbolize their nation. Like the U.S., America chose the eagle. Or Russia has chosen the bear. And Great Britain has chosen the lion. Now, normally, the nation will choose an animal that symbolizes strength or power or independence. Now, very interesting, God chooses to represent us, you and me, as sheep. Now, sheep are talked about in the Bible over 500 times, and over 200 times, that's what we are called. We are called sheep. God calls us sheep. Now, I think many of you know this already. If you think about sheep and about us being called a sheep, it's not necessarily flattering, right? Because first of all, sheep are what? They're not the smartest animal in the world. There are trained dogs, there are trained horses, there are even trained dolphins, but there are no trained sheep. And a sheep can just wander off and get lost. They walk off into a cliff, they can walk off into a cliff down to their death. On their own, left by themselves, they won't last very long. Now, sheep cannot survive on their own. They require personal attention, care, and protection. So one of the things that moved the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ when he saw a crowd of people was this. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. Here's what it says. It says, when he, referring to Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So there's nothing more helpless, more hopeless, nothing more heartbreaking than a sheep without a shepherd. That is why this is such a great passage, Psalm 23. Because we have no other than our God as our shepherd. And that ought to encourage us. That ought to bless us even when we go through tough times. Because being a shepherd, if you think about it, this, if you think about the picture of the shepherd, being a shepherd is really a 24-hour-a-day job. Now, shepherds don't take vacations. They never get away from caring for the flock. The shepherd is totally responsible for the needs of the sheep. And because the sheep depend entirely on the shepherd for everything, they depend on the shepherd for food, for water, for shelter, for safety. And you're going to see that in the psalm that as we study along in the next couple of weeks. Being a shepherd is an around-the-clock job. And again, that ought to strengthen us as we picture our God as our shepherd. Because the welfare of the sheep is the work of the shepherd. And the shepherd has only one job, to take care of the sheep, to look after the sheep. That's you and I, to make sure that the sheep is taken care of. So the one responsible for the sheep, we are the sheep, is the shepherd. And the Bible tells us, Psalm 23 tells us, that the Lord is our shepherd. So think about that, okay? The Lord, our shepherd, our God, who made us, said this, I didn't just create you. I didn't just make you. I did not just put you on this earth. I have taken the responsibility to meet every one of your needs. You know, sometimes we think that we have this big cosmic God who just created us and just left us on our own. Psalm 23 says, no, God is our shepherd. Now, by the way, this shepherd is no ordinary shepherd. Now, when you look at the New Testament, the word shepherd is referenced to Jesus at least three times. In John chapter 10, verse 11, our Lord Jesus calls himself the good shepherd. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, he is called the great shepherd. 1 Peter 5:4, he is called the chief shepherd. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the moment you have decided to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he becomes your shepherd. But that also means that we are dependent on him. You know, our culture today values independence, right? We don't like other people to control us. We don't like people making decisions on our behalf. We prefer to be on a position of strength where others are dependent on us. We don't like to be dependent on others, diba? For example, I read about this guy who did something really interesting. He lived very frugally. He sacrificed, you know, his goal was to have money in the bank that is more than his annual salary. So imagine you have work, now you have 1 year's salary, and his goal was to have in the bank that same amount or more than that. Now, interestingly, he called that account the goodbye to you account. You know why? And when he finally was able to accumulate that much money, more than a year's pay, he went and showed his bank statement to his boss. And he told his boss, "This is my goodbye to you account." Now, he wasn't quitting his job. He was just simply telling his boss that if ever you don't treat me right, if things go wrong, I'm not dependent on you. I have my money. I can say goodbye anytime. That's independence, right? Sometimes that's what we want to be. People in our society have difficulty handling authority. We don't want to be dependent on others. We don't want others to be, you know, above us. Just ask someone who's in a position of authority, a political figure or a pastor or a principal or a boss in a company, and they'll tell you that those people who have difficulties with authority get upset, even if the leaders are not authoritarian. They have this sense that if anyone is in a position of authority, they'll try to control you. They want you to be dependent on them. Because why? We like our independence. We don't want someone else deciding things for us. Kids, right? The young ones, you don't like your parents, you know, telling you to do this and to do that. What we want is we prefer to be wild, to make our own choices, to run wherever we please. And because of this, if you really think about it, we have this mindset. If you really think about it, it is really strange for someone to call the Lord his shepherd. Because when you say, "Lord, you are my shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd," you are saying that I am dependent on you. But you see, for those of us who know the shepherd, for those of us who love the shepherd, we can say this with honesty that he is our shepherd. Amen? If Jesus is our shepherd, we are his sheep. If Jesus leads us, we are the ones who are being led. We are limited by time and space. Our shepherd is not. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but my shepherd does. I don't know what's over the other side, but my shepherd sees it ahead of me, and he can lead me over there. And here's the beautiful thing. The shepherd who leads me will never leave me. Amen? The shepherd who leads you will never leave you. Even if we tend to let go of him, he will never let go of us. Jesus, our shepherd, sees what we can't see. He hears what we can't hear. He knows what we do not know. That is why it's a great thing for our God to be our shepherd. And so wherever we are, we know we're going to get wherever we need to be because we have a shepherd who leads us. Amen. You may have lost your job. You might be in a tight situation. You might not know what's going to come next. You might not have money for your bills. You might not know what tomorrow holds. Remember this. You have a shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who leads you. Amen. So that's the first one. The Lord is our shepherd who leads us. Secondly, our shepherd takes care of us. Now, we don't just have a shepherd who leads us. We have a shepherd who looks after us. Look at the second half of the verse. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Now, the word used there in the Hebrew is the word Jehovah Rohi, meaning the Lord, our shepherd. It's a name of God. Now, I've told you that the shepherd is supposed to take care of the sheep, right? He's responsible for the sheep. Actually, there's at least three parts of the job description of the shepherd. Number one, the shepherd guides the sheep to shelter. Secondly, he was to guard the sheep from danger. And thirdly, the shepherd was to give sheep their food. In other words, the shepherd's job is to make sure whatever the sheep needs, the sheep will have, and he meets that need. Now, the word there for want, or from the word I shall not want, literally means lack. That's why the NIV or the TNIV translates it this way: the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. The New Living Translation says it this way: the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. Now, let me tell you, let me take you back to 1,000 years before David wrote this psalm. Back to the time of Moses. Now, you know Moses, right? He had a big job. He was kind of the shepherd of the sheep of Israel. And God gave Moses a very tough job to lead the sheep of Israel to the promised land. Now, we know that because they were disobedient, the Jewish people wandered in the wilderness for how many years? For 40 years. Now, we don't have time to discuss how tough it was for Moses. But just think about this. Moses had to lead somewhere between 1 to 2 million people in the wilderness for 40 years. Some scholars even say it might have been up to 5 million people. Think about that. Remember, there were no malls there. There were no fast food restaurants. There was no Shopee, no Lazada, right? No 5-5. 1 to 2 million people for 40 years. And yet, here's what the Lord reminded Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 7. Look at this. This is amazing. God said in the word of, in the Bible, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He knows you're going through this great wilderness. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. You have what? You have lacked nothing." So God was saying, not for 1 second, not for 1 minute, not for 1 hour, not for 1 day, not for 1 week, not for 1 month, in the 40 years did Moses and the people ever lacked anything. Now, here's something nice. In the New Testament, there's actually a counterpart verse of that. And this is Philippians chapter 4, 19. We know this verse as well, right? It says, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So God is saying here, I'll see to it that you will lack nothing. Now, we know a lot of people misapply and misunderstand that verse. That verse does not say God will supply all your greed, right? God will supply all your need. And the shepherd never promises to give the sheep everything they want. The shepherd promises to give the sheep everything that they need. Now, I was reading about this story about an expedition in 1803. Captain Meriwether Lewis and his close friend, Second Lieutenant William Clark, went on what was called the Lewis and Clark Expedition, not Lois Lane and Clark Kent. It's Lewis, L-E-W-I-S, and Clark. So this was in 1803, and it was a U.S. government-backed expedition. They were to cross a newly acquired portion of the country. And so Thomas Jefferson, the president at that time, realized that they might not have money for clothes or for provisions or for the things that they needed to do for the expedition. So in order to deal with that problem, here's what he did. Thomas Jefferson did something that has never been done before in the history of the United States. It was never done before. It probably will never be done again. Here's what he did. He provided a letter of credit for Lewis, authorizing him to draw on any agency of the U.S. government anywhere he went for anything that he needed. Can you imagine that? Wherever he went, he could go to any government agency or anywhere, and he will ask it. The president said this to me. Now, let me just read to you the letter itself. Here's what the president wrote. It says, I also ask of the consuls, agents, merchants, and citizens of any nation to furnish you with those supplies which your necessities may call for, and to give more entire satisfaction and confidence to those who may be disposed to aid you, I, Thomas Jefferson, President of the United States of America, have written this letter of general credit for you with my own hand and signed it with my own name. Think about that. It's the most unlimited letter of credit ever written in the history of the world. It's like you go to the bank or you go to the store and say, I have this credit. I can take whatever I want. In other words, what he said to Lewis and Clark was this. Anywhere you go, anything the government has, you have it. Anything you want, anything you need, the government is going to pay for it. Wow, right? But listen here. Our shepherd has done exactly the same thing for us. He's given us over 7,000 promises in the Bible. And each of those promises is like a blank check. He promises that whenever you come up with a need in your life, he will meet that need. Our shepherd has given us his word. You will lack nothing. But let me just stop for a while here, okay? Because I know some of you are thinking this. You might be thinking, wait a minute. I have a need that God has never met. Or I had a need in the past that God did not meet. That's not true, okay? Listen to this. If God did not meet it, it really was not a need, okay? Can you say that to your neighbor? If God did not meet it, it was not a need, right? Because if you have a real need, God will meet that need in his will. If God does not meet it, then it wasn't a real need according to his will. Let me give you an example. One day, we will die. And some of us are going to die with a disease that God is not going to heal us of, right? Now, we might think at that moment, Lord, I need for you to heal me. But what you might think might be your need at that moment might not be your need as far as God is concerned. Because what God might want to do is not to heal you temporarily, but to heal you permanently. In other words, you will be promoted to heaven if you're a Christian. So let me say this again. Our God does not lie. You have a shepherd that not only looks after you and looks after your need, you also have a shepherd who leads you. So no matter what you're going through, how long you're going through it, at the end of the day, if the Lord is your shepherd, you will lack nothing. Amen. Isn't that great? We have a shepherd who leads us. We have a shepherd who cares for us. Now, thirdly, our shepherd knows us. David tells us in Psalm 23 that Our shepherd knows us. Now, verse 1 is a great verse, right? It's a very encouraging verse. It is a comforting verse. However, let me just tell you that there's one little word in that verse, a tiny word that you should hear and see clearly. Because it is the one word that determines whether this psalm is for you or not. And what's that word? That little word is the word, my. David says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He doesn't say the Lord is the shepherd, though he is. He doesn't say the Lord is a shepherd, though he is. David says the Lord is my shepherd. Now let me just be upfront with you, okay? If you can't say that word, my, this psalm is not for you. This psalm does not apply to you because that little two-letter word, my, is the key that unlocks the door to the treasure of blessing that God has for you in this psalm. You see, you may know God as a shepherd. You may know God as the shepherd. But here's the question I want to ask from you. Can you really say that the Lord is my shepherd? You see, an amazing thing happens when in your relationship with God, when you come to know Jesus as your Savior, when you come to know Jesus as your Savior, as your shepherd, when you finally come to that point in your life and say, Lord, I want you to be my shepherd. You know what God says to you? You will be my sheep. In other words, the only way to know that the Lord is your shepherd is this, is that you make the shepherd your Lord. The only way to know that the Lord is your shepherd is to make the shepherd your Lord. There was this pastor who, after graduating from seminary, he decided to live in Israel for a year before he took a pastoral job. And part of the time that he was in Israel, he lived with a shepherd, and he helped out with that shepherd. Now, this pastor said that the first time he went out with the shepherd, he was shocked. You see, this shepherd had something like 1,500 to 2,000 sheep in his fold. And one time they went out and took off to this lake country to feed the sheep. Now, when they arrived there, they got together with some 8 to 10 other shepherds who also brought with them their own flocks. So in that huge valley, there was something like 15,000 to 20,000 sheep. Okay? Now, after a while, you know, the shepherds were talking with each other. They were mingling and probably had fun with one another. And, you know, they decided it was time to head back. So one shepherd would make a little sound, and about 1,500 to 2,000 sheep would just lift their heads, and when that shepherd starts walking, they start following. The next shepherd does the same thing. He makes a sound, and the other shepherd, all the sheep does the same thing. All the other shepherd does the same thing. And the sheep follow their shepherd. And this pastor said that of all the times that he went with them, never did a sheep follow the wrong shepherd. And never did a sheep get left out in the pasture. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so once again, the question is this, is the Lord your shepherd? Do you know why David compares our Lord with a shepherd? You know, the shepherd knows you better than you know yourself, right? Our shepherd knows us better than we know ourselves. Jesus knows me better than I know myself. Now, you might think that you know what you need, but Jesus knows what you really need. He knows how to forgive your past. He knows how to take care of your present. And he knows what's going to happen in your future. And the beautiful thing about it is this. This shepherd and sheep connection is a personal connection. The Lord cannot become your shepherd until the shepherd becomes your Lord. If Jesus Christ is not your Lord, then the Lord is not your shepherd. And you know, if you cannot think of a time that you have ever come before God and say to Him, Lord God, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to You, then you cannot claim this verse for yourself. But the good news is, it's very easy, right? All you have to do is just come before God and tell Him, Lord, I want You to be my shepherd. Jesus, I surrender my life to You. Ask for forgiveness for your sins and just say, here is my life. I give it to You. You now become my shepherd. Let me be your sheep. Now in John chapter 10, Jesus points out that, you know, you, in your small groups, you're going to look at John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, Jesus points out that the sheep belongs to Him, right? And they hear His voice and they follow where He leads. But the truth is this. Jesus' voice is not the only voice that we hear in the world today, right? There are plenty of voices around us that tries to vie for our attention. There's just so many. Now, here's a couple of things. That voice could be a personal desire. That voice could be the culture around you. That voice could be your relationship. So here's how it can pan out. Now, we have personal desires, right? Some of them are really, really bad and evil. But some are actually legit. Some of our desires are really good. But what if the shepherd's leading for you is not for your personal desire? What if Jesus says, this is what I want for you to do, but it's not what you want to do? Or for example, think about the culture that we have today. The culture wants you to go in one direction, and our shepherd might want you to go in another direction. The culture might want you to respond like this, we have this, for example, today, what we call the cancel culture. But Jesus wants you to respond in another way. Or for example, our relationships. This is the most common, right? The people we know. Those who are close to us, those who influence us, some of them might have a more powerful voice than our shepherd. We listen to them more than what the Bible teaches us, more than what Scripture tells us. Now in John chapter 10, Jesus also says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. And He's giving us this picture of a true shepherd, the great shepherd, the good shepherd, and a false shepherd. And that means all of the other voices, if it's not the voice of Christ, will ultimately lead to destruction. And Jesus is telling us, I am the good shepherd. Those who hear my voice will follow me and will do what I tell them to do. Now there's this little book by Philip Keller. If ever you want to study more about Psalm 23, this classic book entitled A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 is very good reading. Now, this Philip Keller writes this book from his experience as a shepherd when he was in Africa. Now, he told of the time that he had this piece of land, okay? And the land adjacent to his land was rented to a tenant shepherd who did not really care very well for his sheep. So, you know, he had his own land, and the other side was this other tenant, also a shepherd. Now, here's what happened. This was not a very good shepherd. His land was overgrazed. All the grass were overeaten. The sheep were thin. They were diseased with parasites, and they were attacked by wild animals. And Philip Keller remembered especially how the neighbor sheep, there's a fence between the two lands, the two properties. How the neighbor's sheep would line up at the fence and stare blankly at the direction of his grass and his healthy sheep. Can you imagine at the fence, the sheep of the neighbor just looking out, right? Almost as if they yearn to be delivered from their abusive shepherd. They long to come to the other side of the fence. They want to belong to him. Now, here's the thing. It's very important for us to understand this when it comes to the voices that we hear. Christians understand that the identity of the shepherd is everything. You and I, we must be able to distinguish the voice of our shepherd and the voice of the enemy. And it's wonderful to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. You know, when you have anxiety, when we're worried about the future, maybe you're worried about a medical test that you had to take and that lab told you that, you know, you're going to have the results after 3 days. And so you're so worked up with those 3 days. Or maybe you're thinking about, you know, your company told you that 30 days from now we're going to have a retrenching. And you're thinking about 30 days ahead. Can I tell you something about our Lord Jesus Christ? He's 3 days ahead of you. He's 3 days ahead of that lab report. He's already there. Are you thinking about that layoff 30 days from now? Well, Jesus has gone 30 days ahead of you. Amen. That is our shepherd. He leads us. He knows us. He takes care of us. Now, there's one other thing that this shepherd is different from every other shepherd. There's one other thing that our Lord, being a shepherd, that is different from all the other shepherds who ever live and will ever be there. Ordinarily, we know that the shepherd gives the sheep whatever they need, right? That's the role of the shepherd. They give, they provide, they protect them. They give the sheep food. They give them water. And we're going to see all of that in this psalm. He takes care of every need of the sheep. But our shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd, he doesn't just give his sheep everything that they need. Remember this, he is everything that they need. Our Jesus is everything that we need. So if you're hungry, he's the bread of life. If you're thirsty, he's the living water. If you're in the dark, he's the light of the world. If you're lost, he is the way. If you are confused, he's the truth. If you're dying, he is the life. Now, I don't know what some of you are going through today, but let me just remind you of this. You don't have to go through it alone. Amen? You don't have to stay up at night and, you know, walk back and forth and with all the pressure until your floor seems to have been scrubbed because you were just walking back and forth. You don't have to stay up at night with your blood pressure shooting up to the roof. You don't have to stay up at night and not be able to sleep because, you know, you're not sure what's going to come next. If you listen to this psalm, if you listen to the song of this psalm, you will hear loudly and clearly that we have a shepherd who leads us. We have a shepherd who takes care of us. And we have a shepherd who knows us like no other shepherd ever has, ever can, or ever will. Because our good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep. This good shepherd was crucified on the cross. This good shepherd came back from the grave so he could be your shepherd and my shepherd to lead us, to look after us, and to love us. So when the Lord is our shepherd, we lack nothing of what we truly need in life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not die.